If you don't have something to say, you're stuck with us, so make a decision here. But it's always helpful to understand where we come up with these types. So we have heard that Pharaoh is a type of Satan and Egypt is a type of the world, but where do we build up? Where do we come up with thoughts like this from the Word of God? Because I really believe it's very essential for you to know from where. You always go to the source, and God will give us His mind clear with the picture why Egypt is the world. I would say that when you, could you please forgive me if I didn't give you the verses? Some of you know I don't like to give everything in a spoon. I certainly would say it is nice for every young brother and young sister to be exercised of the things they're going to hear and go back to look into it yourselves. But in Genesis chapter 12, without saying the verse, I'm going to give you chapters, but not verses. In Genesis 12, it is when Abraham goes down to this place called Egypt. We know that it was a disastrous move, that God has to intervene on his behalf. And it says, and he came out of Egypt. Well, let's give another example. In Genesis chapter 43, the first time we read the word abomination, you know what's abomination? Sometimes we only connect it to the Lord, that there were certain things that God abhors. Well, the first time that word appeared in the Bible was in relationship to the Egyptians as to with the people of God. It says in Genesis chapter 43 that it was an abomination, or the Egyptians abhorred to eat meat with the Hebrews. Now think of it now. Follow that line. That the people of Egypt abhorred it. It was sick to their stomach to be able to eat meat with the Hebrews. And the Hebrews are who? The people of God. You go to chapter 46, you would read that it was an abomination for the people of Egypt, or for the Egyptians, to have shepherds or to love shepherds. And who is the great shepherd? It's none other but the Lord Jesus. Now put it together. We go to Egypt, it's a disaster, God pulls me out. We think of the people of the world, they don't like to have anything of common or interest with us. Why? Because we think differently. And then they hate something that is called the shepherd. In reality, they hate the great shepherd, who is none other but our Lord and Savior. So what are we talking about? It says about Pharaoh knew not Joseph. He heard about Joseph. He knew that Egypt really by right belongs to Joseph. But he decided, no. I want to make it difficult. I am always going to battle. Devil is always going to battle with the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you what's the battlefield. Is you and I. Yes. Think of that. Satan is always going to battle with the Lord Jesus. And the battlefield is you and I. So what does he do? So if you are saved, as you, the brethren had mentioned, they want to deprive you of everything that will please the Lord. So you heard about the music. Can I say a word about even technology? You touched on it. Some of you heard it because that's my line for the last few years. But please look at it carefully. There is the prince of the power of the air behind everything. You have said technology comes out, there is a great benefit. But as you have heard, if you don't use discretion, you might get in trouble with technology. But everything is circled around I. Why? Why is it circled around I? iPhone, iPod, iPad, it's always I. Because the first one who acted on the principle of I is none other but Pharaoh. The type we're talking is Satan. He is the first one that acted against God on the principle of I will. That's the first one. I. The latest thing we have heard, selfie. I mean, I don't know if you are seeing how Satan is working. I, selfie. This is all the thoughts of the devil himself. So he's going to bring a burden. He's going to deprive you. And you have mentioned, Brother Chuck, the taskmasters. So if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us who are these taskmasters. Our wrestling is not with flesh and blood. So we don't fight against men. We don't fight against brethren. But our wrestling is with principalities, spiritual wickedness, all these individuals that under the domain of Satan. You see, Satan has a military, like the Lord Jesus has a military. You and I were supposed to be a good soldier. Satan has his own taskmasters that will put a burden on you so that he will deprive you from honoring your Lord and Savior.
I want to go to this verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. I'm going to ask us to just sit here for a minute. And I'm going to ask you, who do you serve? Where are you? We're here at Grove City. Many of you have been here many times. Who is the one that you are doing service for? Face it at the beginning of this week. There is deliverance and there is freedom and there is joy available for you. But it will only be when you have looked at the Lord and in the mirror and honestly before him are able to give the answer. Who have I been serving? Let's just sit just a minute. Is it a thought that troubles you? I hope it is. Because if you've been serving Pharaoh and you are comfortable in these readings, we have failed. We have failed. If he has been the master that you've been serving, have you been satisfied? Have you found him to have your interest? Or are you in need of a new master today? Turn over to chapter 3. I might have thought that I was the one that saw the difficulties of the way. That may have been in my mind that nobody knows. They don't know this world, this circle that I'm moving in. And I'm alone in that. Oh no. No, you're not alone in that. And this is the wonder of the Redeemer that we're speaking about today. He is the one that says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I know about it. There aren't any secrets, brothers and sisters, young people. There's not a secret in your life, nothing. The Lord knows all about you. He not only knows about your circumstances, he knows how you think about them. He knows how you feel about all that is going on. And he comes and he says, I have seen the affliction of my people. And maybe you've done just what it says here. Maybe it has brought you to tears, like it has the young man that I was speaking about. He says, I have heard their cry. I have heard their cry. You know, this underlines the value of the mighty cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he alone is the one that can set one free. And this is the wonderful thing. I've lost my page there. I'm sorry. I have seen their affliction. I have heard their cry. Look at this. I know their sorrows. That's our Lord Jesus. Is he telling you that? Have you heard his voice last night in the gospel meeting? And you sense that it was not Brother John speaking, but it was the Lord himself that was speaking to you. As he says, I know all about you and I love you. You want to know the measure of my love? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. See the crown that was put upon my head. See the cross that I was nailed to. I love you and I have shown you. That's what we have here. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians.